7FM 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton joining us. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Aaron and Mike. How are you?
Good.
Thank you so much. We're doing very well. This is your first full year as superintendent. What are you most excited about?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to have all of our principals, assistant principals, and really entire district leadership. Southwood hosted us yesterday and had the chance really to lay out what this vision is for the upcoming school year. And I told them this really is my 34th time to start school in Caddo Parish as a teacher, a principal, chief academic officer, and I have to say I think I'm more excited now as superintendent than I've ever been. Really saw a lot of renewed energy, momentum, and purpose. We're launching a brand new logo, tagline, website, parent, student app. All of that is launching Friday morning, and so very excited about that. Gone are the days of We Are Caddo, and it truly is shifting to a new era in Caddo Parish.
What is it? What's it going to say?
It says excellence everyone every day. And we really spent a lot of time around what does that mean from the lens of, you know, if all of us, I always love sports analogies. And so I really talked to them a lot about really even Nick Saban's coaching philosophy around, you know, if every single one of us does our job and we do it with excellence and we practice it and we know it and we perform it each and every snap, what does that mean? And that turns into wins and turns into winning seasons and championships.
Yep.
Well, it's the same application for any large system. And, you know, it when we're talking about the tagline, excellence, everyone, every day, that's the conversation that a principal can have with a student, a parent can have with their child, a transportation director can have with a bus driver, a superintendent can have with a principal, or a school board could have with, you know, it is truly a call for all of us to really rethink the opportunities we have entering the school year. And I want to tell you guys, there was lots of excitement leaving. I can't tell you how many texts and phone calls I got just saying there truly is a refocus around what we know is ready. And it's building on a lot of successes. I mean, we had great academic returns last year. I mean, we saw our students across the board grow in ELA and math and science. Of course, we've talked about that before. Social studies wasn't reported. Our fourth and fifth graders just led the district in gains in mastery and above. And so not that we're where we want to be, but gosh, when you look at the momentum, you look at the momentum of academic gains, you look at the momentum around just fiscal accountability, we're able to end the year with a surplus, and we will be bringing plans for use of those funds that will be a reinvestment back into our district. And
Keith, you mentioned a new app that you tell me real briefly about what this app will allow parents, students, staff to do.
You know, a lot of the times schools are very frustrated because, you know, in 2025 people change phone numbers all the time.
Yeah.
And it seems like if you're relying on a phone call or a text, that you never really can stay very tight with communication. And so we have launched a new app. It will, the nice thing about it is it will go all the way down to the high school student. We're not quite rolling it out to middle school. Now, middle school families and elementary families, of course, will have access to the app. But as far as communication between a teacher and a student, I wanted to stop that right now at the high school level. But what will it allow the families and students to get? Well, first of all, just real-time access to grades, attendance, announcements, everything that's important. Football coach.
Yeah, I'm glad y'all didn't have that when I was in school.
Yeah, I know. You're not having to wait any longer on that evening call during dinner saying Johnny's got an F in, you know, on today's math assignment. That family's going to that family's going to know real-time grades, and we're going to get away from kind of what we've done. But, you know, I was going to say, just think of a football coach that needs to tell his entire team, hey, practice has moved from 5 o'clock to 5:30. We're starting in the weight room. Mm-hmm. Boom, he can do that through our app.
Yep.
And parents will see that, you know, and so there's any communication that's going between our school system and families or a student, parents will be able to monitor it. They'll be able to know. And so it'll just hopefully improve communication.
Can you stick with us? I want to talk about our biggest challenges ahead when we come back.
Gladly.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Burton, Quettapere School Superintendent with Micah McCarty. We'll be back after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with Marty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Superintendent Keith Burton on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline.
Biggest challenges ahead for this school year, I would assume, finding qualified teachers. How are we on that front?
Well, we are probably, I would say, at the highest percentage of staffing we've ever seen. Anytime you're a large school district, of course, you're always going to have those last minute vacancies due to retirement and moves. But I check that daily. I have conversations with our HR department, especially looking at those critical areas of math and science and special education. One of the things we did is we moved 37 people from either central office or support departments into schools. It made no sense for me to have special education supervisors who were going into school to support students if I had a vacancy in that SPED classroom. And so we moved a lot of people into positions that had historically been vacant. As of yesterday, we were in the mid 90s as far as percentage of filled. And again, that's higher than typical. And if you look at vacancy rates, I'm very, very pleased with that.
Okay, let's follow up on that with regard to all the teachers from Queensboro, which is a school you've closed. Have they all been placed somewhere else? Did they all go to J.S. Clark, or were there different spots for them?
Well, we wanted them to follow the kids. We said that from day one because they had such great relationships with them. And a large majority of them did. Others, though, found different positions around the district. And J.S. Clark, of course, is definitely a priority of mine. They are 100% fully staffed. That we are ready to begin welcoming all those kids. You know, we had the opportunity for all the families from Queensboro to come onto the J.S. Clark campus before school got out, just so they could already know what's ahead. We've spent a good bit of time beautifying that campus and ensuring that it's ready. So they are fully staffed and ready to really enter in what we know is really important around career and tech ed for them, just awareness of students, so that they know what's available when they walk into a high school.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Quettapere School Superintendent Keith Burton. Keith, we know transportation has been is an issue this year. Are there not enough school buses, school routes? What are you doing to address this?
Yeah, that's always been the biggest change or challenge for us, because one of the things that, you know, I don't think the public knows is that as a school district, if we have bus driver A that takes off or is sick, I can't just assign another bus driver that route. Based upon law, I have to ask for volunteers. And so many times, you know, if I don't have enough volunteers, then I've got to pull mechanics. I've got to pull additional drivers.
Well, what's the logic of that law? Why can't you assign someone?
Because those bus drivers own those routes. And because of, again, prior legislation, I can't just tell them, hey, Mike, thank you for doing your route, but today I'm going to add another route to you. So what we've really tried to do is say, okay, let's stop complaining. Let's come up with a solution. And one of the things that we've done is, first of all, we added drivers to our budget this year. We just needed to insulate that to ensure that looking at historical data, we would have enough drivers to be able to cover those. Also, our team has broken the district into quads, and we have groups of drivers that are on call every single day in those quadrant areas. So if I'm in Keithville, I live there, and I know I've got two bus routes vacant in Keithville area. I already have someone in that community that knows that they can get that bus and roll very quickly. We've also added 12 new buses to our fleet this year, which is exciting because we've been fully air conditioned. We've always had in the last few years a fully air conditioned fleet, but being able to add 12 new buses for the 25-26 school year is going to be exciting. So knowing that we have new buses, we have more drivers, we probably have more people in line as far as being subs this year than we've ever had before, because a lot of times we would get them, we would bring them on, get them trained, and a lot of times they would leave to go into the private sector because mm-hmm. they can make more money driving a truck than they could driving a school bus.
Okay. And Keith, I get calls, I'm not sure why, but I guess because I'm a squeaky wheel, about some, you know, buses are running late or my kids, you know. Will the app be able to track that too? Will I be able to say, hey, my bus is, you know, on time or running late? Is that going to be part of the app?
No, and the, you know, we've thought about that. We've had that opportunity to be able, and of course, we can from central office area see there's been some concern around, especially with families who may have custody issues. You are just a little lenient about being able, or I guess we're concerned about just ensuring that anyone could track a bus. I think there's just some security concerns that we've not answered yet. And before, and I just want to be cautious, especially when, you know, in 2025, I think it's when you're dealing with children and safety, you just have to be overly cautious. So it has that capability. We're just not rolling it out yet. But parents will, if they need to know, you know, what is the status of, you know, I'm on bus 35 typically, is there a sub driver, they'll be able through our new website be able to get that bus information at that time. Mm-hmm.
Talking with Keith Burton, Calipari school superintendent. School starts August 13th this year. You're a week later than Bossier. Are we going to get it back to Labor Day eventually?
I don't think so. Especially with how the testing cycle runs in the state, and how you have to get so many, you know, by the time school ends and you've got to be able to offer summer school or summer remediation. I just don't think we can wait that late. So unfortunately, until the state changes our testing cycle, we probably will always be in mid-August before. But, you know, talking about Bossier, one of the things that Mr. Rowland and I have worked very closely with is aligning our schedules. So
that was my next question.
Yeah, we've done that for the past couple of years, ensuring that, you know, their spring break, our spring break is aligned. He and I have been friends for a long time. Mr. Corley and DeSoto, we're friends. I mean, we stay in constant contact with each other to ensure that there's tight alignment around what we're doing, around schedules. And then schools, we know that impacts, you know, a lot of families. They may live in Caddo, they may work in Bossier, vice versa. And so we want to make sure for families we're doing as much as we can to make that an easy transition to them.
Do you have the final data yet on how many third graders, what percentage of third graders are being held back? Because the new law is in place now. If they don't read at their grade level, they have to repeat the grade. Where are we on that data? Do you have it yet?
Yeah, we are around 6%, which is about what, you know, if you look at national norms, especially when we have approximately 2,500 third graders, we were able to get that down to less than around 150 kids. We are having, and I'm glad you asked that, Aaron, because one of the conversations we had with our principals yesterday is we wanted to let them know that we're having conversations of, I know the state says third grade, but we have the ability to look at our own pupil progression plan, and should we look at first grade? You know, if a student is not reading on grade level and is not reaching that reading scale that we feel they should, we don't need to wait till third grade to retain them.
Mm-hmm.
Should we, in our local policy, look at first grade because first grade has a better opportunity to teach that child foundational reading skills, that teacher more equipped because, again, they're a first grade teacher, their time, and you know, by the time you get to third grade, you're reading to learn.
Yeah.
You're not really so much learning to read. Mm-hmm. And so we discussed that. Our team has been meeting, and then what we are ready to the point of doing now is meeting with those in the community. Each of our board members, they nominate a parent to serve on our a pupil progression plan committee. We're meeting with them. We will be able, and we don't have to rush that because we'll make that decision. We'll bring that decision in September to the board. But I wanted our principals to begin thinking about that now, because again, even though I'm not a fan of retention, if we have to hold a child back based upon reading, then I want them held back at the appropriate time so that we truly can close the gap and we're not leading that child down a path of dropout or future retentions or you know,
gotcha.
So on and so forth.
Keith, we're against the clock, but we certainly thank you for your time. Good luck. It sounds like an exciting year in front of us.
Thank you so much.
And you bet.
Hope
thanks.
To talk to you again soon.
You
all
bet.
Right.
Absolutely. Keith Burton, Caterpillar School Superintendent Micah McCarty. Coming up, our Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, joining us right after the local news. 101.7 FM, 710.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I got a chance to speak with House Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday. Saw him at the press conference in Bossier City.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke for like 45 minutes.
Nice.
It was awesome. We'll
yep.
talk about that, but hear from him right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, and we are joined on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline by Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who's in the district today with about 12 million stops.
Ruben's not here, so I'm finagling 16 things over here. Speaker, good morning.
Hey, great to hear your voices.
We have got to move beyond this Epstein thing.
Yeah.
I saw you on Meet the Press this weekend. Do you have the president's ear at all? We got to put this out there, and to say that we want to protect the children's names, Mike, we can redact the names. We know how to do that, and then get the file out there.
Yeah, we do. There's two challenges. Number one, the what is loosely called the Epstein files, which by the way, no one can really define. Is thousands and thousands of pages, we think, because remember, this has been a legal proceeding that's been going on for a long time. So there's a lot of names entwined in it. It's not just victims of the crimes, but it's also just people, for example, who, you know, lived in proximity to Jeffrey Epstein in Palm Beach. You know, he was a socialite, so he would have events. And there's some really good, very innocent people who just happened to show up at events of his, we think, and had no idea whatsoever what he was doing or that he even had an island, et cetera. So, you know, the concern is, and this is a custom in law enforcement with government agencies and the courts, is that you protect the innocent people's names who might be maligned by rumors or innuendo or whatever. There's a lot of evidence in here that wasn't even qualified enough to be entered into the court. and it's all entwined in this. So the point is, what the DOJ is trying to do is get the grand jury, the judges, to release the grand jury testimony, which is all under seal by the courts, which has most of this. And the rest of it, they just want to make sure that innocent people are not entwined in it. We want every single person who had anything to do with any of the Epstein evils to have the full weight of the law dropped upon their head immediately. And we're insistent upon that, and so is the president. So we're working overtime. The DOJ is working overtime to try to get it all out. And we're going to do anything in Congress that we have to do to make sure that happens.
State Rep. Danny McCormick has issued a statement condemning you, Mike Johnson. He's a Republican. He's a conservative. He says this is something that you need to take care of. How do you respond to that? You got one of your own out there.
Danny's a friend. I haven't spoke to him in a while, but I reached out to him. I heard that last night, and I was frankly very surprised by it. Reached out to him. I said, I'll answer any question you have, my brother. As usual, there's lots of things going on that aren't readily apparent on the surface. So, you know, I wish he'd called me first, but that's how it goes. And no hard feelings. Danny's a good man, and I look forward to catching up to him.
Okay. You want this stuff out there, I assume.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've always been consistent about that. We're pushing in every way we can to make sure it's out there. But again, to do it responsibly so that the innocent victims of these crimes don't have to be subjected to further harm. You know, if there's any name swept up into this, the social media world and everybody will pounce immediately and their names will be permanently destroyed. So you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to change gears for just a minute. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. Let's talk about Social Security, because Warren Buffett is predicting that retirees are going to be facing an $18,000 annual cut in 7 years.
Yikes.
If Congress doesn't act, what say you to that?
Well, that's not breaking news. I mean, we've known this for quite some time. It's not just Social Security, it's Medicare as well, and Medicaid by extension are all within a 7 to 9 year window of insolvency, because Congress has kicked the can down the road for generations. There have to be some fixes to it, and you can do minor adjustments to the programs that save everybody who relies upon it, everybody. And so we can, and we're on a trajectory to do that. I'm working on what I call the 5 steps to fiscal sanity. The big, beautiful bill was the very first big turn on the wheel, so to speak, of the ship of state to get us back into a sound trajectory, and we saved over $1.6 trillion in taxpayer funds, which is the most savings in the history of mankind, not just U.S. Congress, by any legislature, anywhere, at any time. But that's just the first step, and there are other steps ahead. We're going to do multiple reconciliation bills coming up. We're going to do rescissions packages to claw back spending that was wasted with fraud, waste, and abuse. And it's a combination of factors that's going to get us out of this bind. It's going to be pro-growth policies, which the Republican Party is advancing, the big, beautiful bill, and everything else ahead. And it's also reducing spending. So long as I'm at the helm, guys, we're going to be doing both of those things on a very aggressive timetable to get it done.
Local leader texted me this morning, wanted me to ask you this. So here we go. Is push some of the foreign and or big companies' investment that's coming into the country that the president keeps announcing to our region and your district? We love having you as speaker, and we need help back home with jobs and opportunities. You working on that?
Yeah, every day. And the Louisiana delegation is punching way above our weight limit, in case people haven't noticed. You know, Steve Scalise is the majority leader. I'm the speaker. We've got Julia Letlow as an appropriator. Clay Higgins is moving up the ranks. You know, all the Republicans from the Louisiana delegation are working overtime, and we have the most power amassed of any state. So please be looking for good things. I talk to the president all the time about Louisiana and direct investments here. There's a lot of great stuff happening, and we'll be pushing more and more to the 4th District of Louisiana, my folks, because as I remind him all the time, and he loves Louisiana, and Louisiana loves him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got the hardest working, biggest hearted people in the world. They just need the chance. And we adjust the factors on the state level, which the legislature is working on, and we get all those things right, we're going to have more opportunity ahead.
Mike, I want to kind of get personal for just a moment. You have faced, Newt Gingrich said, you have had the toughest job as Speaker of the House than he's ever seen, and he should know. And this is not, and I have to be careful asking this, because it's not a reflection of you, because we're so proud of you and what you've accomplished. But are you surprised that you have now been, you know, first of all, not that you've made speaker, but how awesome was that? But that you're still there with all the challenges that you faced. And we know that others have been booted out, you know, through motives of our own party.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. There's a famous phrase in Latin that is translated, victory loves preparation, right? So people keep saying, wow, he's pulling rabbits out of a magic hat. You know, I have all these nicknames, Miracle Mike, Magic Mike. It's not that. It's prayer, it is patience, and it's preparation.
Maybe not say Magic Mike.
It has other context.
It's a different meaning now. Yeah.
Okay, we have a lady in South Louisiana who allegedly defrauded Medicaid for millions of dollars, bought a Lamborghini, got surgery, she got jewelry. Those are the people we want off Medicaid. When we talk about the big, beautiful bill, which I know you're touring about today, those are the folks that we need to stop and find. And we're going to do that under this bill, right?
Yes, we have. And that's the critical reforms. The Democrats are screaming, running around with their hair on fire. They're going to cut Medicaid. No, we're going to save Medicaid. We're eliminating fraud, waste, and abuse. It's tens of billions of dollars every year. And so we're fixing that. We're kicking off the people who are ineligible and the people who are gaming the system. And we introduced work requirements. For example, for young single men without dependents, they should not be riding the wagon. They should be helping to pull it. And so we have a minimum 20-hour-a-week job requirement that we've introduced now that is completely comports with common sense. It's very popular in the polling. You either have to be working, looking for a job, or volunteering in your community if you're going to get public benefits like that. It thwarts the intent of Medicaid otherwise, and the only way to save the program is to fix it, and so we are. But the big, beautiful bill has so many things. It is going to help Louisiana so much, y'all. The take-home pay will increase by an average of $10,600 in Louisiana. Okay, your take-home pay, all right? The average family is going to save $2,100 in their federal taxes. I mean, these are real, real effective changes for the people. The bill was written for lower and middle class workers. Everybody's going to benefit. All boats are going to rise. And by the way, we're restoring American energy dominance in the meantime. We're restoring peace through strength. We have all these factors, cutting regulations along the way. And secure the border, the biggest investment in border security in our lifetime, and it's resulted in now zero crossings, almost zero crossings last month. Yep. So we're fixing the problems. It took us a long time to get into this situation, but 4 years of Democrat rule and under Biden-Harris basically destroyed every metric of public policy. Guys, we're fixing it, and we're doing it in record time. I'll tell you this. The first 6 months of this Congress were the most productive to any objective measure in history between an administration and a Congress. So we're cooking on all running on all cylinders right now. We'll keep it going.
In the last minute or so that we have, we got a question on this Shreveport Security Systems message board talking about tax on tips and overtime. President Trump campaigned on that. No tax on tips and no tax on overtime. But that was kind of changed in the big, beautiful bill. I think I understand, but explain that change.
It was a change. We added all those things. There's about 80 million hourly workers and about 4 million tipped workers in America. They're going to see an average of $1,500 annually in their pocket just because of those two provisions. So the president was insistent about it. The only thing that changed at the end was the timetable on it. And we wanted to make it permanent, but to pay for it was going to be an exorbitant amount. So it's through the Trump administration about 5 years, then we'll go back and renew it again. So for the foreseeable future, this is huge relief for people who are working hard. You earn that money. You should keep it in your pocket. Uncle Sam should not take it from you. I stand by that.
One more thing. Uber local for you that somebody has sent me. The Caddo Parish Commission, they haven't passed a resolution honoring you yet that I know of.
We've called for one.
But they did when your friend Bernie Sanders came in town. They presented a resolution to him they hadn't even passed, and then they came back and passed it later. Should local governments be getting into that kind of stuff, honoring people that maybe half of us don't agree with?
I'd say more than half when people understand what Bernie Sanders stands for. He's an actual Marxist. He is a Marxist.
Yeah.
He's a self-described socialist. They want government to run your lives. Guys, that's not what we're down for. That is not Louisiana values.
Mm.
We believe in individual freedom and limited government and the rule of law and peace through strength and all these things that we're restoring. So, look, this is not your father's Democratic Party. They're actually running. They're running an actual Marxist for the mayor of New York City. I mean, look what's going on. The Republican Party is the party for the people. We're going to keep showing that every day.
Well, we'll hold our breath waiting for the resolution honoring you. We'll see if it happens.
I don't rely on that.
Thank you, Mike.
Hope to see you in Bossier this afternoon.
Take care.
You got it. See you then.
Thank you. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
State Representative Danny McCormick, who's been critical of Mike Johnson, he's going to join us after 8 o'clock.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Got a chance to meet a lot of people yesterday at the Mike Johnson. Well, I don't know that I'd call it a news conference, really. It was by invitation, I think.
Yeah.
But also want to say hi to Joseph Wayne. He works at Brookshire Grocery Arena.
Mm-hmm.
He listens every day.
Yeah, thanks for listening while you're working, my friend.
Coming up next hour, Danny McCormick responds to, we asked him about his criticism of Mike Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And We'll let him explain. That's after the local news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. And on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker this morning, State Representative Danny McCormick is joining us. Danny, first of all, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Good morning, guys. And I appreciate it and appreciate you letting me be on this morning. Y'all having a good day?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We, of course, just spoke with Speaker Johnson. My impression over the past few weeks, or the past several days at least, Speaker Johnson has been calling for the administration to release the Epstein files, but you've released a statement criticizing Speaker Johnson. Explain why your criticism.
You bet. No problem. My press release was not to necessarily criticize Speaker Johnson. It was to defend Thomas Massie, Congressman Massie, that the speaker was criticizing. And I support Thomas Massie and his views on this and on several other things. And that's what my press release for your listeners that may not know Thomas Massie. It's important to know Thomas Massie is the most conservative congressman in Washington. And since Speaker Johnson has been Speaker, in my opinion, his voting record has changed, and it's with voting on things that I don't think his district would approve of, and Congressman Massie has been on the right side of those votes, in my opinion, and I'm supportive of him in those votes. I mean, the one we can talk about, probably the most familiar one, is the. The federal government being able to continue to spy on American people through wiretaps. And I say wiretaps. It's not wiretaps anymore. Any kind of electronic communication. And, you know, Speaker Johnson was the deciding vote on that. It allowed that to continue. And Tommy Massie was a big voice against it. So there's been very, very several votes up to the point into this vote. And I think I think Washington will release something on the Epstein files now, and I think it will be done from the pressure being put on them by Congressman Thomas Massie.
Speaker Johnson criticized you a few minutes ago for not calling him first and saying, hey, give me a heads up first. Y'all have spoken now. Did he express that to you?
We have not spoken. I was on the Bossier Watch last night, and he left a message on my phone while I was there, and I'm going to return his call today. But no, we haven't spoken, and I think this debate needs to be a public debate. If y'all watched in my press release the criticism Speaker Johnson had for Congressman Massie, but they were all public. They were out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think this needs to be a public debate. I think that I appreciate the speaker. I do appreciate him, but I think this is a public debate we need to have in front of the people.
I've gotten some texts from several local Republicans, and one says, and I'm going to quote, McCormick's, and I'm quoting, ambush of the speaker only gives fuel to the fire of liberals and rhinos who are working for Mike's demise. I wanted to get your response to that.
Well, and that person must not understand what's going on in Washington. Like I said, Thomas Massie is the most conservative one up there. And Speaker Johnson, he was saying that he was going to his job is to defend all the incumbents, Republicans in Washington. That's what he said in his press release. And those are the rhinos that are trying to stab President Trump in the back when actually Speaker Johnson was speaking very poorly of Thomas Massie, Congressman Massie. So I that person, you should text him back and ask him to give me a call. I think I can enlighten them on the subject also.
You obviously, we're talking to State Rep Danny McCormick from Oil City, you obviously know that in Mike's position as Speaker of the House, with the slim majority he's got to have a little bit of wiggle room. He's got to compromise a little bit. And sometimes that means not being full hard-on conservative like he wants to be. I guess you understand that. You're a politician. You're reasonable.
Sure. You bet. I agree. But, you know, being able to and casting the vote so we can have our electronic American citizens can be spied on by the American government without a warrant, I don't think that was a vote he could have took. And that was under the Obama administration that he could have took that would have gave a lot of freedom and liberty back. So I understand that, you know, but, you know, the last budget that was passed in Washington added trillions of dollars to the national debt and the unfunded liabilities. I mean, I just heard his interview, and, you know, we have $100 trillion of unfunded liabilities that are off the books, Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. I can appreciate his comments about waste and abuse and fraud, but that's not going to recover $100 trillion. This country is going broke. Thomas Massie's been on the right side of that argument. And so I believe we need to go, you know, I know there has to compromise, but I believe our compromises need to be further to the right.
When you and he talk, hopefully today, and he says to you, Danny, why didn't you call me ahead of time before you issued this news release? What do you tell him?
I'm going to tell him, Congressman, I appreciate you saying that, but it wouldn't have changed anything I've done. And by the way, I didn't have you in your phone number since you become speaker. So now that I've got it now, so I can call him, but didn't have his phone number. Not that important. I need his phone number. But on the other hand, this is an issue that needed to be out in the public. We're talking about me defending Thomas Massie, the most conservative congressman in Washington that Speaker Johnson was criticizing harshly, almost to the point where you thought he was going to campaign against him, possibly to keep him from getting reelected.
You have Republicans, conservatives listening to you, obviously on this radio station today, who are probably screaming at the radio going, you Republicans have got to come together. Y'all got to come together and get along. You want that too, right?
Oh, you bet. But I will say this, you know, the Democratic Party marches in lockstep. They police each other. They criticize each other. They're a bunch of tyrants. We in the Republican Party, we need, you know, iron sharpens iron. Well, you know, we need to challenge each other. And, you know, this is not a war against the Democrats. This is a war against freedom and liberty and independence and everything this country was founded on. This is what this is about. We're going to have make hard decisions. And I'm challenging Congressman Speaker Johnson to move further to the right on this issue and support the most staunch Republican in Washington, Thomas Massie. He needs to be supporting him. Mm. He doesn't need to be supporting the rhinos that are stabbing our president in the back. That's who he needs to be supporting. And that's going to make me feel a lot better if he gets on the right side of that fight.
I want to bring – we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but I want you to weigh in on it because I know you have an opinion. You and Mike Johnson in a little bit of a tiff now. But down in Baton Rouge, we got a monster tiff in the Republican Party between the governor and Alan Seabaugh. And, I mean, he's vetoed several local projects. What do we do to fix that? That's a problem in this state.
Well, yeah, and, you know – politics. I mean, yeah, I know Senator Seabaugh and I know Governor Landry, and I think a lot of both of them. They're very opinionated, strong-minded, and when you get two bulls in the same pen, sometimes they're going to butt heads. And you know, I think that's healthy. I think that you got to get it out there and you, what you've said about both of those men, they're not passive-aggressive. I mean, when you call them up and ask them something, they're going to tell you. So if you want them to quit talking about it, you need to quit asking them that question, because yeah. They're definitely going to tell you what they think. So, you know, I've got respect for both of those men. So I think it's going to work out in the long run. Well, I think iron sharpens iron.
I hope our projects get restored. That's the other thing, though. It's like we all get hurt because of it.
Yes, and I agree. And that is an issue. And you know, that is something as a House and a Senate, if we wanted to take that power away from this governor or the next governor, we have the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. So we can pass laws to take that line item veto power away from us.
All right, Danny. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great day. Always appreciate the fair and balanced way to be able to speak to y'all. So I thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm real nervous here, folks. Real nervous. I'm just telling you.
I think this is kind of cool, though. Our friend Chica from K94.5 is in studio with us.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Chica Trice is what we're doing.
You're doing a segment.
Mm-hmm.
Is it each week?
Well, we're trying to do it bi-week. We're trying to do it twice a month, but at this rate.
And it's called Chica Trice.
Yes.
And you try new
different things, yes.
You jump out of airplanes.
Okay, don't get crazy.
No, fly. No, that's never happening.
I went and worked for, I wanted to be, by the way, I need to get in touch with the city of Shreveport because I wanted to be a trash girl for a day.
Okay.
But instead I went to go
work. I used to ride
work.
Them as a kid. Oh, we used to jump on those
that's
trucks.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, we used to jump on those trucks.
But I went to go work for Corporal Clean and we cleaned out trash cans. I didn't last but less than an hour. I threw up 5 times. Anyway, I auditioned or I tried out to be the next golf pro at Chasing Aces.
Didn't work out.
We don't know that yet.
Oh, we
the
don't.
The video goes up tomorrow.
I know where my money is. Okay.
Well, you, by the way, Meredith Duncan, a beast.
She's so cool. Yeah.
A beast. Mm-hmm. I watched her and I was like, oh yeah, no, this ain't. But I made a comment.
Wait, was she here in town?
Meredith Duncan.
Yeah, she's here.
She lives here.
Yeah.
She's the golf pro. You could get lessons from her at Chasing Aces.
Mm-hmm.
She's the head coach over at Bird.
Yeah. I'm getting my clubs regripped.
Okay.
I haven't played in
Let's
20
go.
Years.
Right.
20 years. Oh. I want to get back into
well,
it.
Well, you so know anyway, what? I'm anyway. Happy that you're willing to do Chica Tries because that brings me to my next point. I had a genius idea. I mentioned to a friend that I could take anybody and transform them because there was a comment made and I said I could catfish anybody.
Aaron.
McCarty. No. This involves
I've heard
you.
About this.
This involves you.
I know
you.
It does.
Well, because I already made some phone calls. So her dear friend owns a beauty shop, like a beauty parlor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
she helped me for Fiddler.
Okay. Well, yes. she's gonna be helping us for a lot. So I said, hey, I need to basically borrow your area and give me somebody that knows what they're doing so I don't butcher it. I said, but I bet you I could completely transform the way Aaron McCarty looks and make
sure
her go out on the town.
I'm sure you could transform it, but...
What's that mean? Well, I'm going to do such a good job. I'm going to make you. People are going to look
so
at you. You're
going to
be the definition of sex appeal.
You're going to cut her hair?
I'm
Have
not
you ever
just
cut
doing
hair
that.
Before?
Don't worry about it. You think I was out?
Oh, my God.
You think
I was out?
About it.
You think
oh
I was out?
That's not the response
you, think I was
you want to hear. When you
listen. No, hold on. It's called Chica
Doctor,
Tries for
a have you ever
reason.
Performed this surgery before? Don't worry about it.
Okay, listen, guys. This is not life and death. It's just McCarty's face. But listen, here's what I'm doing.
So you're cutting my hair. What else are you doing?
Okay, well, I said, hey, when's Aaron McCarty's next appointment?
And she goes like every week.
Bro, found out she goes every week.
Yes.
And I know the day. I said, okay, cool. Who's the stylist? Cool. Got it. So I'm not going to say
Cadence,
when.
Cadence, I'm sorry.
We will be not just waxing you. But I will also be cutting your hair.
Oh, no.
There may be some color involved. Who knows?
Oh, no.
Stop. It's going to be great. And I'm going to do your hair and makeup at the end.
Now, we're going to video this, right?
Oh, it's all
okay.
Getting taken care
okay.
of.
Okay.
It's all, I mean, just wait, mamacita.
And the experience.
I'm going to take her from McCarty to mamacita.
Oh, God.
You're going to be... McCarty.
Like strutting on the street?
Let me tell
Mamacita? Oh,
I may even just bring her like a little dress, some high heels.
Oh, no.
Because when she comes in here, it must be right after her shower because her hair's wet. It's now, pulled back. Yep. Look, it's in a bun. But, and then her headphones are on the whole
full
time.
Full disclosure, if you've ever been in the building, all us women that are in morning radio, we all look the same. Unless we're getting, and I'll get dressed up if I got an event. Right? Yeah. Or if I have something going on. And I think sometimes we joke around with each other like job interview, because that means my hair is done or my makeup's done or something, or I have an event.
What are you dressed up for? Yeah, because, I'm not in shorts.
Well, 3:45 a.m. comes early. You know, it to anybody.
Yeah.
So I thought, why don't you give me the perfect canvas? Erin McCarty.
Did we vote on this?
You don't get a say. I already got everybody at Avalon Hair Salon on board. And your friend said, sure, that sounds fun. And so she agreed.
Friends these are.
Well, that's your problem. That is your problem. Everything's signed up. Everything is ready to go. Here's the deal. We already know you're showing up anyway. You're going to be there.
I'll be there.
I will get her to like give you a discount. Because I'm not going to charge.
Well, just like when you go to Votech and they cut your hair, I don't think they charge you because you're letting the students cut your hair. So this is kind of that situation, right?
Oh, no. No, so, we still got to get paid. Slow down.
Can I ask her one stupid question?
Listen, this isn't a charity.
Tip her? Are you going to tip
people? Yeah, and you better tip me. Because I got to tip my girl for taking up her booth rent.
Have you ever, ever cut hair ever before?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question.
Well, I asked it a minute ago, and you said, don't worry about it.
Hey, that's just a good, don't answer the question. I'm practicing being a politician. Am I doing a good job?
You're doing a really good job.
I'll tell you, let's not focus on what I haven't done, but let's focus on what I have accomplished.
Yeah,
ooh,
there you go.
Like that answer?
Okay, I have one rule about this. This is next week.
On. Stop. Don't be given any rules. You don't get to give rules.
All waxing is above the waist. I'm just saying.
You know what? On behalf
of... You're down with that rule?
Well...
Hey, yes is the answer.
Wait, now I think about it.
No.
Hold on.
Get out of here.
So if it goes really badly, do you just shave the head and start over? Is that what we're going
to... I'm just saying, I was with my girl when she had to shave her head for charity. We've been through it all.
Yeah.
Listen, worst case scenario, end up looking like Reuben.
I've seen pictures.
We'll do the waxing first.
We're not bald heading me. No, we're not.
We're not doing that.
Listen, I don't think, here's the thing. I do have somebody helping me, so it's not like I'm going to burn your hair off. But confession, I don't even know how to curl my own hair. So this is going
burn
to be.
Hair. I hadn't even thought of that.
I'm going to style her up. Listen, right, Chica Tries is the best thing to happen to America.
We got news coming up. We're against the clock. And coming up also, Tom Grisham from Gun Talk is going to address the latest call in Shreveport for gun control.
Get her out of here.
After the local news. 101.7 FM, 710, Keel, Mike, and McCarty.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking at your picture on your Facebook.
I had a good night last night. I was going to a dinner for a friend of ours.
Supposedly.
That's what I had been told. And I was told to be there at 6 o'clock. And I arrive. It was Monjuni's on Uri Drive. I apologize, Monjuni's, right now for whatever happened.
Well, you didn't bring a stripper or anything like that in.
No, we didn't. But it got kind of rowdy. So I walk in at 6 o'clock, and there's a table of about 15 ladies that all of my friends. I mean, a big old table full of people. And then they surprise. I'm like, oh my God! I thought this was for someone else. And it was all my ladies from the pool and some of the bunco ladies. It was, what a cool night. There's so many things I can't tell you about, but I got one of them gave me a Marshmallow Peep purse. They know I hate Marshmallow Peeps, okay?
I was just going to say, what?
And it's all glittery. How often do you see me in glitter?
Never.
Never?
Yeah. Did you go home and put it in the microwave like you do with the rest of them? Watch it blow up?
I mean, we had the best time. We had the, my only regret was I'm sitting on the end of the table.
Right.
And so there's a ton of them on the other end that I didn't get to chat as much. I hated that. But thank you, Terry and Tammy and the whole crew that put it all together. We had such a good time. It was so nice. And it really was kind of a cool surprise. Because I'm thinking, I'm just going to go to Monjuni's and have a little food. And, you know, I'll have a few buddies that
you
I'll get
knew,
to see.
Though.
I
you
suspected knew. It, but I wasn't sure. And the funny thing is, because they know I'm pretty prompt. I'm pretty punctual when I arrive places. And so they must have got there, you know, 5:30 or 5:45. I don't know.
So you're not as smart as Gary McCoy then.
What'd he do?
Well, this morning.
Oh,
today's
yeah.
Gary McCoy's birthday.
Today is Gary's birthday.
And so his, you know, Kiss Country is just right down the hall from us with six radio stations in this building. So we sent him a text going, hey, come down here at such and such time. We have a hunting question we want to ask you.
He didn't fall for it.
No.
he said, thanks for trying to wish me a happy birthday. I'm not falling for it. And it's not my birthday's not until Sunday, but a lot of us had stuff we're doing this weekend. So And a couple of them are going on a cruise, so they did it last night. We had the best time.
Nice.
Thank you to everybody that showed up. It was so cool.
Yeah, little Grace Ann right there next to you with bunny finger, bunny ears behind your head.
We had such a good time.
Tom Gresham from Gun Talk is going to be joining us.
Why is he going to be talking about pencils today?
Pencils?
Yeah.
Well, because a pencil failed an exam.
Oh,
we'll find out.
Okay.
101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, we've had a, I don't know, would you say a lot of issues?
This week we had a rash of shootings,
Mm-hmm. So a lot of gun violence.
Hello, Tom Gresham.
Tom Gresham on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. That's his favorite phrase. A lot of gun violence.
That must be my cue to show up.
Oh, you sound like you're in a tunnel. What are you doing? Are you out in the mountains?
Oh, I am out in the mountains. Absolutely. Let's see if we can fix that a little bit.
Yeah.
There, okay. We can fix that a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe that's more
Thank
better.
You. There you. There you go.
Bet.
The reason I called you yesterday is because we've had some local leaders talking about we have to find an answer for the gun violence. And I saw something online. It was a little boy who was in a classroom getting ready for school to start. And he told his mom was kind of being critical of him, his work at school. And he looked at his mom and he said, Mom, I didn't fail the test. The pencil did. And I thought, wow, what a great analogy. I didn't shoot that person. The gun did.
Well, I mean, and you guys know the whole deal about the term gun violence is a way of saying, okay, we don't really care about crime. We don't really care about violence. We really want to control people, and we will call it gun violence as a way to get at gun control, which is all about what? Control, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is not a single gun control law in the U.S., and we've tried everything up to it, including bans in particular areas. Not a single one that's ever been shown to reduce crime. Even the CDC studied this, and they said they couldn't find any instance of gun control laws reducing crime. Why do we keep doing this?
Well, isn't it, and quite frankly, the reverse effect in a lot of cases? Because your law-abiding citizens aren't armed, your criminals are. And gun violence actually goes up.
Well, yeah, look at what happened over the last few days. We had a fellow who's doing a mass attack in Traverse City, Michigan with a knife, and a citizen with a gun and a carry permit stops him. Didn't have to shoot him, just pointed his gun at him. And typically people stop doing what they're doing when you point the gun at them. And versus what happened in New York City where no one has a gun to use for self-defense. No one's allowed to defend themselves, and everyone is required by law to be defenseless, and no one can stop this guy.
Mm. Who's walking in the sidewalk carrying an AR-style rifle.
Right.
And walks right into the building. Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to figure out who he is and what he's doing. This is not a hard problem to solve. You know, we know what's going on. We know who he is, and all you need is one good person who has a gun and knows how to use it to, as we say, return him to ambient temperature.
With the political climate that we're in now, Tom, I have to ask you, I know you're not as worried about gun laws now, but are some of the strict gun laws in places like California and others, are they now starting to be reversed because the political climate is changing, or is that not happening yet?
It's always a battle, Aaron. We're making some headway on the federal level, and in the courts, we're making some headway. But then again, we have some courts that seem to ignore the Supreme Court and actually ignore the Second Amendment. I mean, for those who want a quick remedial lesson, the Second Amendment says the right of the people, not the government, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It doesn't grant anyone a right. All the Second Amendment does, it says, look, government, keep your hands off of it. The people have this right, and you need to leave them alone.
Mm. Are you anticipating things getting a little bit easier in the gun industry and things being better in the next few years?
Well, I think yes, and we're seeing across the country now, well, North Carolina is just about to pass what we call constitutional carry, where you do not have to have a permit. You don't have to ask the government permission to exercise a constitutional right. That'll be 30 states now where you don't need a permit to carry a gun. Now, and look, here's the deal. If you are prohibited by law from owning a gun, you still can't carry a gun. It doesn't mean that criminals can carry guns. They're still prohibited. Oh, yeah, and by the way, criminals still break the law because that's kind of the definition of criminals.
Mm-hmm. Do you applaud the efforts? Because there's been a real serious effort here in our community to get guns out of the hands of criminals, and they're making a real, real concerted effort. Mm-hmm. Does that have an impact on crime? If we finally get the guns away from these criminals, does that impact crime? Do the stats show that?
It's a worthless effort. No one's ever gotten guns out of the hands of criminals, because criminals don't care what you do. They don't care what law you pass. They don't care what you do to them. They are going to have guns. It is the silliest political theater. And it's politicians saying, oh, look at me, I did something for you. No, they didn't. They're just pretending to do something so they can con people into voting for them. There is no way. I'm sorry. There's no way to get the guns out of the hands of criminals. The only thing you can do is punish them and put the criminals away. Now, that works. Put them away. Put them in places where they can't come hurt us. And the other thing you can do is allow and get out of the way and quit prohibiting people from being able to protect themselves. And, you know, Aaron, one of the things that's great about this is the trend that we're really seeing across the country is more and more women have figured it out and said, you know, I'm not going to try to depend upon anybody else to protect me. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take care of my kids. And I know that the cops, as good as they are, they're not going to be there whenever this thing is that's going to go down when it happens. And so I'm going to protect myself.
Well, and the police are reactionary. They're not preventative.
Oh, exactly right. You know, there's a cop did a study. He came up with a term. He called it the stopwatch of death. And it's real simple. He says the more time that goes on, the more people die. And he was particularly talking about mass shootings and, you know, these types of attacks like schools and churches and that type of thing. Just if you have to call somebody on the telephone and say, would you please bring a gun over here? In the interim, before they get there, people keep dying versus having someone on location who can shoot the bad guy. And look, make no mistake, that's what we're talking about here. We got to shoot the bad guy, because once you do that, they stop shooting other people. It really is a pretty simple calculus.
Yeah, and if they know there's a gun in that home, they're probably going to another home.
Possibly, but once again, and here's the other part. Getting a gun is not enough.
Yeah.
I want people to understand. It's not a magic talisman that all of a sudden makes you okay, makes you good. You're not good. Just because you're an American, and especially just because you're a guy, you were not born with innate abilities to shoot a gun and know what to do.
That's true.
You've watched all the John Wick movies. That doesn't qualify you. You actually have to go take a class.
Yeah.
And people say, well, I practice all the time. Practice is not training. I keep saying this over and over on Gun Talk. Practice is not training.
Very good.
You got to go take a class. You got to get instruction.
My daughter, when she lived in Dallas, had to call the police because somebody broke into her backyard and tried to get in the house.
Mm.
And when they were walking around, the police, she's been trained, by the way, and she carries. And the policeman looked at her, and she had her her Glock. And he looked at her. He goes, let's see, two large dogs. You've got a Glock. You look like you know what you're doing with. He goes, your dad did a good job.
Yeah. Well, good on you, Dad.
I know. Made me feel good.
Well,
well, you know, it is up to women to take care of themselves. And, you know, the thing is, women are pretty smart, and they can figure that out.
You bet. Tom Gresham, we appreciate you, and let's hope those pencils don't fail tests when kids go back to school next week.
Absolutely. You guys be safe.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You're the wrong person to ask because you're as informed as anybody I know. Okay. NFL preseason gets underway. Oh, good. I got you on that.
No clue.
It's okay, but you would think NFL preseason.
September?
Thank you. No, tonight.
Seriously?
Your face just told me.
There's a game tonight?
There is an NFL preseason. The Hall of Fame game.
Preseason for me is like.
It's a joke.
It's now become the all-star games where nobody defends anything.
Right.
We go for touchdowns or buckets.
I'll never forget the year Deuce McAllister, the high ankle sprain in a freaking preseason game.
What are we thinking? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I get it.
Just blew my mind tonight. Yeah. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Aaron, I'm hoping the tide is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly. Mike Johnson told his story, kind of an analogy. His son just finished his first year, I think, at the Naval Academy.
Oh, cool.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think that's what he said. But he was talking about one of the things they have to do is learn, like, all the statistics and dimensions and of different of the ships.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the different, the different boats. But he said, Mike said, I've always been intrigued by aircraft carriers, as have I. They're just fascinating.
They're
so huge. And when an aircraft carrier is, traveling full speed, those things don't turn on a dime.
No.
And it takes a mile of open ocean to turn one of the aircraft carriers. And that's kind of, I think that's kind of where we are with the madness of the past 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike did highlight some of the successes. Look at the border. Look at what actual effort has made on the border. But I saw a story in Reuters that gave me some encouragement. World Athletics now requires women to take a gene test to compete. Starting September 1st, the governing body that will require female competitors clear a one-time SRY gene test. It's a cheek swab or a blood sample revealing whether or not the Y chromosome is present.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
That way, if they're...
Thank you.
They're not born a woman, they shouldn't be participating in women's sports.
World Athletics Organization aims, they say, to solidify standards around eligibility and will impact the World Athletics Championships, which begin in September, middle of September, in Tokyo. So, kudos.
Yeah. You know,
are they going to, you can have whatever surgery you want. You can call yourself whatever you want. Don't ask me to play into your delusion. I'm sorry.
Right.
No, I'm not.
Mike, I know you have an athlete for a child. I had an athlete for a child. I don't think there's any one of us on either side of the aisle who thinks that a child who spends you know, hours upon hours every day training to do something they love and they're good at, thinks it's okay that somebody who was born a different gender can participate with the women.
Right.
I really don't think anybody thinks that's fair.
You know, my daughter, she was, and okay, I'm dad, yeah, but she was at a different level.
Yeah.
Swimming. She went to, she still holds state records. We had some friends that just got back from Baton Rouge. Said, Micah's name is still on the board at LSU.
Oh, that's cool.
Pool records. Mm-hmm. When she was a teenager,
yeah.
her name's still on the board at LSU. So she was at a different level. And when she went to Auburn, and even through cost, she practiced with the guys. Because that's where she was.
Right.
So she practiced with the guys. But.
Imagine if you got to a meet. You flew to Colorado Springs. You spent all the money to get her there. You're in a hotel. You right. and your wife are there.
I've done it, sure.
And then she's standing on the blocks, and next to her is
a man. Right.
Getting ready to swim against your daughter.
I would have come unglued.
That's the thing. And I think anybody who had that daughter standing on the blocks, and there's a man standing next to them, would... The same.
Because I can tell you, my daughter never went to school, beginning in middle school, with dry hair. Because she was at practice at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. every morning. And then after school, they yeah. were at practice. She worked hard. She used to come on my, you know, Dad, get up. Time you got to go to practice. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wow.
She was dedicated and worked hard, and it paid off.
Yeah.
Fortunately, before this madness came about, you know, for her, but just
imagine if you were dealing with it now.
To the World Athletics, they're saying, and they say at an elite level, for you to compete in the female category, you have to be biologically female.
Yep.
Maybe this aircraft carrier is finally turning.
We're going to go inside GeekedCon, get all the secrets and special deals when we come back.
Greg Adams joining us, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I do like your jersey, by the way.
Thank you.
That you said it's Honolulu blue?
Honolulu blue and silver. And got to wear Detroit. It because we're playing tonight.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we just talked about that.
Football.
Los Angeles oh, man, Chargers, which still sounds weird to me.
Okay.
At least the Los Angeles Rams went back to L.A., but I digress. Greg Adams in studio, Micah McCarty. GeekedCon coming up. Tomorrow is August 1st.
Yes.
Tomorrow, August 1st. GeekedCon just a couple of weeks away. I love GeekedCon. I really do. I have a good time. It is. And look, and for those that might be listening, I don't read comic books. It's so much more.
Yeah, that's something that we've worked through since. So for 10 years now, we've been working through that because every year somebody will say, well, that's not, I don't do that kind of thing. I don't like that. And then you start talking to them and they tell you, like, back 10 years ago, it was, well, I watched The Walking Dead every week. All right, it's based on a comic book. And now when you talk to somebody and they're like, I don't like that geeky stuff. I just like Star Wars. All right, well, sorry, but that's in the mix.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
So, and we do, I think we do a really good job of making sure that our celebrity guest lineup is a very wide range. So there's something for everyone. There's going to be
yes.
a person from a movie or a TV show or a video game that you have liked or enjoyed at some point in your life. And it's going to be really cool to be able to meet those type of people. And we like to do this because it provides something to downtown Shreveport that my favorite quote every year is, I never thought I'd see something like this in Shreveport. And for a place that has so many negative headlines, so much bad news, it's always great to be on the other side of a positive for the city. So,
and who hasn't said, "You're killing me, Smalls"?
Yeah.
Who's not said that?
I know.
That's
I know.
Just a part of American pop culture at this point. So when
and
we got
he's gonna be there.
Yeah, Patrick Renna, who played the great Hambino, Ham Porter in The Sandlot, known for the phrase "You're killing me, Smalls." His image and likeness is all over T-shirts that you can buy from coast to coast. Everyone mutters it under their breath or puts it in an email at least once a month.
Yes.
It's just a part of Americana. So to have somebody like that coming to town is it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Do you still have room if a business owner is listening and they want a booth to get down there and sell some of their merch?
100%. And you don't have to sell merch. So we've got vendor booths available. They're 10x10 spaces. They come with table, chairs, pipe and drape. And it's a great opportunity for anybody, whether they want to sell something or just market, if they need to build a list, if they need to hire people. This is going to be a great place to try and talk to somebody about maybe coming on board with your company, changing careers. We're going to have at least 10,000 people through there this weekend.
God.
We're going to have, I mean, we've gone north of that in the past, but we regularly are north of that. But the safe number is to say you're going to see 10,000 people between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through that building in downtown Shreveport. So if you want to put your business in front of those people, if you want to sell items to them, if you want to put your logo in their hands, if you want to build a list of potential clients or potential employees, this is going to be a target-rich environment. Mm. And we've got these spaces available. They're $500. I mean, that's over the course of 3 days.
Right.
It's an easy investment, and we've got it set up for you. So really all you got to do is bring down what you're going to put into a 10x10 booth.
Okay.
You ain't got to build anything. You ain't got to haul a bunch down. There will be people who do that, but they're professional vendors. We're going to have a ton of them in there. If you're a local business who really just wants to get in front of 10,000 people, this is the easiest event in the world. If people are investing in some of these employee events they have you know, they're spending money to put up a 10x10 booth and they're seeing 20 or 30 people. Like, and if you're spending any time, effort, money on that, and we're going to tell you here's five digits, like, come on.
And it's that's a diverse range of people.
Yes.
Right.
Sports fans, movie fans.
Yep.
And the amazing thing about the folks that come to GeeksCon is, Greg, and this amazed me, they don't just come to meet the guys that they want the autograph. They go up and down every aisle. They check everything out. It's because they're geeks, right?
Well, it's that, and it's that's the event. That's just the nature of the event.
They love it.
We're going to have 200 vendor booths on the main floor. We're going to have another 75 to 100 upstairs. We have panel discussions. So the celebrities, you can come and buy an autograph from them or pay for a picture with them. But if you just want to come and hear them talk and ask them a question, they're going to do panels all weekend where they have Q&A sessions with fans upstairs. We have two panel rooms running all the time. We got a brick building lab in the Red River Boardroom, which if you've never been inside the convention center or seen the Red River Boardroom, when you see the outside of the convention center building, they have that big round rotunda that goes all the way up the building. The Red River Boardroom is inside that rotunda on the second level. So when you're up there, you see the downtown skyline. You see the Red River. You see Bossier. And you're going to have hundreds of thousands of bricks, thanks to Bricks for Kids, in there for free play. So when you buy your ticket, you get to see 200-plus vendors. You get to hear from all the celebrities and do Q&As with them. You get to play with bricks nonstop all weekend. You get to see all the cosplay, too. Like, there's going to be cosplay walking around there from start to finish. People who have been working on these outfits for a calendar year now.
These homemade ones are amazing.
It's a crazy weekend. It's a lot of fun, and it's a bright spot in downtown Shreveport.
Last year, Billy Zane was, of course, in Titanic. Huge movie.
Tombstone.
And he, in one of the panels, he was talking about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff from Tombstone, and it was fascinating to listen to.
And if you've ever had a question that you want to ask, even if it's the most mundane thing in the world, if you're a huge fan of one of these shows, My Name is Earl, huge show that was on TV, canceled prematurely. It's found a second life through streaming. We've got the two stars, Jason Lee and Ethan Suplee, who played Earl and Randy. And if you've ever had like one of those weird questions, if you want to know, if you want to ask, like, hey, why'd your show get canceled early? Yeah. This show was like hitting its stride and it got canceled. What was up with that? These panels are going to be a great opportunity to ask those guys, what was it that happened?
When is GeeksCon? It's not this weekend. We got a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. So we do have time. But as of tomorrow, we're going to have to start saying this month. So that's going to make it a little bit different. it's a great opportunity for people who, look, if you just want to come hang out, if we're talking about this, even if you're a business owner and you're like, yeah, I don't want to set up there. I don't want to work. I want to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Come on down. We got tickets available. But if you're hearing this and you're saying 10,000 people in downtown Shreveport that are a target demographic that I want to reach and I want to touch, ShreveportGeeks.com. It's a really easy to remember website, so you don't have to write it down right now. It's just ShreveportGeeks.com. You can also just Google GeekedCon vendors and it'll mm-hmm. come up, so you don't have to write or remember anything right now. The cool thing about the way that we do it is that you get to see the layout and you get to pick your booth number right away. So when you go buy your booth, you're not getting put into a lottery machine and you're going to get spit out whatever you get. You're going to go pick what it is. So mm-hmm. if you want to be in this area, boom, you grab it, you do it.
And don't wait to buy your tickets when you show up.
Yeah.
Get the tickets ahead of time because you don't want to wait in a line. You want to just plop on in and come on in and enjoy.
And I do want to say there will be a line normally, even if you buy your tickets in advance. But what buying in advance does is it cuts down the amount of lines. Because mm-hmm. if you buy on site, you're going to have to go to the box office first, then get in line.
Yes.
So if you buy in advance, you just get in the entry line, you scan your ticket, you get your wristband, and you go in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come on Friday night, if you buy a weekend pass, come on Friday, you get your weekend wristband already set. You got all your stuff taken care of Friday. So Saturday, when the big crowd is there, you don't have to worry about scanning a ticket. You mm-hmm. just pop in the line to walk right through, and you just wave your wristband, and in you go. Oh. So there's a lot of ways to reduce the time on this event. But realistically, for what this event is in comparison to other areas like Dallas or Little Rock, we have the same quality of vendors and a comparable quality of celebrities. We're not bringing in a Mark Hamill. We're not bringing in Michael Keaton like some of these other events.
Right.
But as far as like the lines for the celebrities go, you're not going to fight through the same line that you do in Dallas. The lines to get in, you're not going to fight through the same lines you do in Dallas.
Okay.
This is a Shreveport-scaled event, and it's an affordable Shreveport event.
Website one more time.
ShreveportGeeks.com for all of your vendors. And if you want tickets, just Google GeekedCon tickets.
Got it. Thank you, Greg Adams. Yep. Appreciate it.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Thanks to Greg for coming in. Mm-hmm. GeekCon coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing My Name Is Earl.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Lee. I got to work with Jason Lee
mm-hmm.
In an episode of Memphis Beat.
Yeah.
I worked with Ethan Suplee, but he doesn't know who I am. I didn't work directly with him. I was on set. I'm excited about mm-hmm. it. Jason and I hung out in the hotel room at the Roosevelt in New Orleans.
Yeah. We're going to have sort of a surprise intervention next. Next.
Okay.
We actually got Chica and Evan from 94.5 in here, and they really need help. And so we're going to try to help them when we come back. All right?
All right. Well, let's take a break and get back to that. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
If you just threw.
Do you see that? That's how you don't act.
Tell me that wasn't really.
I saw the boogers.
No, there was no.
She threw a booger rag.
You got three witnesses.
Yeah.
You didn't see the boogers.
Okay, all I'm saying is, Evan, this is how I could act. I want you to know things
Chica
probably
and
worse.
Evan from K94.5 in studio with Mike and McCarty. Chica does this. I think this is really cool.
It is.
Chica tries. And you have different things that you've never done before.
Correct.
That you go and you video and you make a deal out of it. I think that's really cool. Jumping
basically,
out of airplanes.
No.
Scuba diving, deep sea diving.
Bungee jumping is not happening. Yeah. No.
Evan created this as a way to basically get rid of me.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it doesn't work.
A little bit.
We have a little bit of a surprise for Evan. But we'll start with what we're going to do. Wednesday, I go in and get my hair done pretty much every week.
Well, yeah, because I called Avalon Harris. I said, hey, you guys take care of Aaron McCarty, right? Because I knew that I was just, I had to follow, where's Grace Handler? Okay, there we go. And they said, yeah. I said, okay, cool. Here's what we're going to do. I lied and said Aaron was on board.
Yeah, you did.
But I'm telling you, after this, you'll be able to catfish anybody.
All right.
I'm telling you right now.
So you're going to cut my hair.
Yeah.
And color it.
I may.
We might. We'll see.
I'm definitely going to wax you. I've always wanted to wax her.
Waxing.
You used to come in when we had shelves
in
here.
Yeah, and then one day I quit. Do you remember that?
We have a
caveat. Waxing above the waist. Okay? And we're going to keep it to that.
Whatever, dude.
All right?
We don't have to go there.
Makeup. We're going to do makeup.
I'm doing your hair and makeup. You're going to be able to go out.
Okay.
And any dude you want. We can go to, like, Superior Steakhouse. We're going to sit at the bar. And any guy you look at, you point at him, I go, I'll be your wing woman.
Okay.
You know that hottie right over there?
Yeah.
I'm going to be the designer.
Go get him. Yeah. Okay, we have another idea for you.
Oh, really?
We got something else we want you to do.
Evan, morning.
What's up? Morning.
We want you to come with us.
Okay.
How attached are you to your beard?
Guys, wait, hold on. No, I got to
stop right
now.
We're thinking Chico with a straight razor?
No, I got to stop right now. He looks like the most beautiful woman.
If you hand that woman a razor and tell her to cut my beard, I am not going to live. I am going to have my throat slit. My windpipe is going to be burst open.
There will be blood?
There will be blood.
Okay, well, yes, that's valid. That is valid. But also, let's be real. How many times does your ID get kicked? He's had people not sell him alcohol.
Okay.
Because this woman isn't you.
My driver's license, photo was taken when I was 18 and didn't have a beard yet. So anytime I go buy anything that requires my ID, they say, this isn't your ID. You look like a woman in this. So
you have long, beautiful hair.
I do have long, beautiful hair. But I keep the beard to try and make sure that no one looks at me and says, you're a woman.
He looks like a white Jesus if you haven't seen a picture.
Could you agree to Chica doing a little cleanup of the beard with a straight razor?
Okay, not a straight razor.
I'm joking.
Why is he so nervous? Here,
I let her do a trim of part of the beard if she's using like an actual safety electric razor that has the guard and everything so she can't get close enough. We could do that, maybe.
It's not long enough for me. You know whose beard is long.
Uh-oh.
I've already trimmed my own beard.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got a nice beard right now. You can't mess that up.
That thing will look all, you know those Duck Dynasty guys? No offense. They got the nastiest beards.
Yeah.
Get it to that, and then I'll shape it.
It was at that. Last week, before Fiddler on the Roof.
Look, there you guys are.
Okay, so are you, Evan, any chance you'd let her cut your hair?
No,
not a chance. Never happening.
You know what? I am due for a trim sometimes, so if she wanted to cut like an inch or two off, maybe.
Okay. I think we might be able to get them on board during like Operation Santa Claus, maybe.
For a good cause. There you go.
Yeah, okay.
I'll risk bodily harm for a good cause.
The thing
so
is...
So you would cut it all off?
Oof.
Now, what's the thing where they make wigs for cancer patients? That one, I have thought about doing that before.
Yeah, what's
Locks
that called?
Locks of Love, yeah.
Locks of Love. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome.
That, we could sell your hair and I'll sell it right over here off Pines Road, man. I could get a lot of money for that. That'd be a beautiful wig. You guys just don't even know.
Have you ever shaved a man?
Mm. I don't want to. Don't ask. Don't go there. Mm-hmm. Not with her.
It doesn't sound like you're down with this.
Let me tell you, one time, my brother has a very, very hairy back.
Okay, all right.
Oh.
And one time, me and my sister were like, let's shave designs onto your back. Okay. And we did. So I've
How about, before. Okay, Evan, one more idea.
All right.
How about if she waxes you?
No waxing.
Like eyebrows or arms or legs?
I'm trying to make you look so good.
In high school, a friend duct tape waxed my leg without telling me once.
Oh.
Never again am I letting any wax near my body hair.
Okay, but it doesn't hurt that bad. Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Duct tape, that's just...
But by the time I'm done with him...
Redneck stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, guys. Man.
Okay. No, he's right.
All I'm saying is this next Chica Tries will be obviously featuring Aaron McCarty.
It's going to be epic.
I mean, I'm just saying...
I want to be there. Oh, I really do.
I actually have...
Bring the whole family.
All family.
Come on down. down.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, what is going on? Why are all these station vehicles here? Every K94.5, Kiss Country pulls up. Yeah.
You're going to freaking call the TV stations, aren't you?
I probably will. I mean, you know, I know some people. Here's the thing. You need to understand that there are probably people that are realizing what I'm up to. They may throw some money my way to do certain things. So I need you to know. I need you to know that I love you. I got your
last
back.
10 yeah, seconds. One word. What's the most fun thing you've never done that you've tried so far?
No, I threw up. I had heat stroke in that one, and I did.
I'm gonna answer for you. It was the dumpster cleaning.
I threw up like three times though.
1017 FM 710 Keel.
Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
You've got to start, and I want to talk about this more tomorrow because we don't have a lot of time today.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a story on keelnews.com about AI-proof jobs.
Yes.
Jobs that won't be taken over. And it's easy for people to go, that'll never happen. Really?
It's happening.
What about the people that worked in the buggy whip factory?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That said, my job is safe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to happen.
How are blacksmiths doing now?
Yeah.
They still got blacksmith shops downtown? Nuh-uh. It is moving.
Or how about the phone book directory people?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, they can never do without the phone book.
Mm.
Yeah, well.
Phone book's gone.
Congratulations.
There are some jobs, things like a plumber, an electrician, things like that.
Service, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Service jobs.
And believe it or not, many of them don't require higher education. It's just a training. It's like another is a chef. You can't have I guess maybe eventually if you have an AI robot could become a chef. I don't know. But there's lots of intricacies in being a chef, but there's a lot of them on the list. A machinery mechanic. There's a bunch of them on. We're seeing AI in our business, to be quite blunt.
See, there. I'd have never thought because Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa sounds like this. You know, it's like yes. Okay, it's an artificial voice. They'll never get it. Aaron, there's a website a buddy of mine showed me. He said, take a story, type it into this website.
Mm-hmm.
60 seconds later, there are two people, a man and a woman, talking like you and I are about whatever that story is. Hey, did you see about the flooding in Texas?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, there was a huge storm came through. Yeah, 17 people to...
And it's not AI. Real people. Yeah.
It's not real people. Because mm-hmm. I asked him, I said, how do they get these people to do? He goes, no, that's not real people. It's scary. It's scary.
It is getting so much better now because you're right. It used to be where it sounded very obvious.
Very robotic. Sure.
It's not that way anymore. And you actually might hear commercials on radio, TV, on your Facebook that are not real voices.
You don't even realize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aren't real voices.
It's bizarre.
There are commercials that are AI now.
Yeah.
Aren't real people.
True.
Aren't real people mm-hmm. in the commercial.
Yep. And guess what? That used to be somebody's voice, and that's what they did for a living, and that's how they made money. That's going to be going away.
Yeah.
That's going away.
But if you want to solidify your future, especially somebody young, and you're looking at what you want to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about this more tomorrow because yes. We're actually out of time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are AI-proof jobs
yes.
for now
mm-hmm.
because robotic technology isn't there yet.
It's changing fast, though. Man, see that list right now at keelnews.com.
1017 FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.